Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories, trends, and debates from the front page of Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Friday, May 29th, 2026, and this is episode 410. We are covering all the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, May 28th. We have a really AI-heavy docket today, but in the best way possible. We are looking at Anthropic's latest model drop with Claude Opus 4.8, a fascinating philosophical debate about whether AI productivity means we finally get a four-day work week, and a study exposing how much top-tier LLMs disagree on basic real-world fact checks.
Plus, we will touch on a wild $200,000 Lego heist and end with an inspiring show HN, where a developer built a massively multiplayer online rave using AI-generated shaders. It is a packed show, so let us just jump right into it.
Sounds good. Our top story yesterday, pulling in over 1,300 points, is the release of Claude Opus 4.8 by Anthropic. Now, the price remains the same as 4.7, but they are touting improvements across the board on coding, reasoning, and agentic tasks. But Sarah, what really caught my eye were the new features they shipped alongside the model.
Right. The new features are arguably more interesting than the benchmark bumps. They introduce something called dynamic workflows in Claude Code, which lets Claude plan a massive task and then spin up hundreds of parallel sub-agents in a single session. They give the example of doing a code-based scale migration across hundreds of thousands of lines of code, from kickoff to merge, using the existing test suite as the success bar. That is wild.
It really is. And they also added effort control. So right there in the interface, you have a slider to tell Claude how much effort to put into a task. If you set it low, it responds fast and saves your rate limits. If you set it to extra or max, it spends way more tokens thinking deeply before it answers. It's essentially giving users direct control over the compute budget for their prompt.
The comments on Hacker News were really split on this release. A lot of people are feeling what user Nilo CK called minor version fatigue. They pointed out that the jump to Opus 4.5 or Sonnet 3.5 was this massive, mind-blowing capability leap, but 4.6, 4.7, and now 4.8 feel so incremental that it's hard for end users to actually perceive the difference in their daily workflows.
Exactly, and that sparked a huge debate about the future of frontier models. A user named Only Real Cuzzo argued that we might be seeing the end of the giant multi-trillion parameter models. They pointed out that there is so much low-hanging fruit left in smaller 60 to 90 billion parameter models. Why train a massive 1.2 trillion parameter model that takes months when you can train a smaller model in days that with new reasoning techniques can outperform the giants on local tasks?
Yeah, and they specifically mentioned GRAM, which stands for Generative Recursive Reasoning Models, a paper that apparently dropped just over a week ago. But of course, because this is Hacker News, the thread immediately derailed into making fun of the acronym. Someone suggested pronouncing it GERM, like George R.R. Martin, and another user joked that if you ask the model to hurry up, it just kills off a Stark.
Classic HN. But jokes aside, the core question is valid. Are we hitting a wall with how much juice we can squeeze out of simply scaling up parameter counts? When you look at the benchmarks Anthropic published, they are comparing Opus 4.8 against OpenAI's GPT 5.5, and the margins are getting thinner. The real battleground seems to be shifting toward agentic reliability, tool calling, and workflow integration, rather than just raw intelligence.
Speaking of raw intelligence and productivity, that leads us perfectly into our second story, a blog post by user ML Su titled, "Can We Have the Day Off?" It got over 1,300 points and sparked an incredibly deep discussion about the social contract of software engineering.
The premise of the post is beautifully simple. The author says, okay, we are at the cusp of a productivity revolution. AI is going to 10x our output. If I can produce the same amount of output by midday on Wednesday that used to take me all week, can I just take Friday off?
It is the question we are all secretly asking. They propose an AI workers day on Friday. You work hard Monday through Thursday writing great prompts, and then the agents churn on them all day Friday, while you, and even the C-suite, go to the golf course. It sounds like a utopia, but the Hacker News comments quickly brought everyone back to reality.
Yeah, the top comment by CatTown really hit a nerve. They pointed out that we are all bragging on LinkedIn about our newfound AI productivity, but we are accepting less job security and no increase in compensation. The economic gains of this 10x productivity are not going to the workers. They are going to the owners.
That thread got pretty dark. People were pointing out that software developers used to be on the winning side of the economy, but now the tide is turning.
One user noted the tragic irony that developers essentially did this to themselves. We spent decades doing free open source work for the greater good, and that exact code was scraped to train the AI models that are now driving down our leverage in the job market.
There was a lot of back and forth about whether people are actually getting replaced by AI right now, or if companies are just using it as a convenient excuse for layoffs to boost stock prices. But either way, the leverage has shifted. Someone brought up the prisoner's dilemma of modern capitalism. You cannot just ask your boss for Friday off because some hungry startup willing to work a 996 schedule, you know, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week, is going to use AI to eat your lunch.
It is a race to the bottom. Interestingly, we saw a lot of calls for systemic solutions in that thread. People talking about universal basic income, taxing compute, and even unionizing. Seeing the word union thrown around and actually upvoted on Hacker News is a pretty big shift in the cultural zeitgeist of the platform. Usually, this crowd leans heavily libertarian, but the threat of AI tokenizing development work seems to be changing minds.
It really is, though there was one user claiming they make $500,000 a year and feel they have more leverage than ever, wanting to quit and compete against their employers. But as others quickly pointed out, $500,000 in compensation is an extreme outlier, not the reality for the average developer trying to pay for childcare right now.
Let us take a quick, slightly bizarre detour for our third story. The title in Hacker News was Bricks and Minifigs Stole a Man's $200,000 Lego Collection. It pulled in over 700 points.
I clicked on this one so fast, $200,000 in Lego. But when you click through to the link, it just goes to the landing page of an app called My Bricklog, which is a free collection tracker and price guide.
Right. It looks like the actual blog post was either taken down or lost in a site redesign, or maybe it just got the classic Hacker News hug of death. The top comment in the thread was literally just the word, sorry.
It is hilarious that a broken link or missing story still shot to the top of the front page just based on the sheer outrage of the title. But it does highlight a fascinating subculture. Adult fans of Lego or AFALs are serious business. A $200,000 collection is basically a house in some parts of the country. People use tools like My Bricklog to track the aftermarket values of retired sets and minifigures, treating them almost like stock portfolios.
Honestly, if a corporate store really did somehow seize or lose a guy's $200,000 collection, I understand the pitchforks. Hopefully the full story surfaces eventually, but for now, it stands as a testament to how much geeks love their physical bricks as much as their code.
Moving back to the AI realm, our fourth story is a fascinating piece of research from Lens.io titled Disagreement Among Frontier LLMs on Real-World Fact Checks. It got nearly 500 points.
This study is so important. Lens Research took 1,000 real-world claims submitted by users to a fact-checking platform. These were not public benchmark questions with known answer keys. These were messy, recent claims from early 2026. They fed these claims to five top models, GPT 5.4, Claude Opus 4.7, Gemini 3 Pro, Gemini 3 Pro with Search, and Sonar Pro.
The results are staggering. On 67% of the claims, the models could not agree on the answer. The researchers used a four-bucket rubric: true, mostly true, misleading, and false. And on 34% of the claims, the models were two or more buckets apart, meaning one model would say true and another would say false or misleading.
Simon Willison, a well-known voice in the AI community, chimed in on the Hacker News thread, and he had some brilliant critiques of the methodology. He looked at the prompt the researchers used, which forced the models to output exactly one label with no explanations and no qualifiers allowed.
Simon pointed out that forcing these models into rigid buckets like mostly true or misleading without letting them explain their reasoning is a recipe for disaster. He found an example in their dataset about a drone attack in Ukraine on May 18, 2026. If a model does not have access to live search, the only correct answer is, I do not know, but the prompt did not give them an abstain option, so they just hallucinated a guess, splitting the panel between true and false.
The author of the study actually replied to Simon in the comments. They admitted that they initially had a fifth bucket called abstain, but they removed it because the models were heavily overusing it to avoid hard questions. They wanted to force a verdict to see what the models would do.
Which makes sense for an academic stress test, but as commenters pointed out, in the real world, we desperately want our AI to say, I do not know. If you are building a production fact-checking system, an abstain is infinitely better than a confident hallucination.
Exactly. Another issue raised was the ambiguity of the labels. What is the difference between mostly true and misleading? A statement can be factually true, but highly misleading. Without letting the model provide a rationale, the labels lose their meaning. It really shows that evaluating AI is just as much about evaluating the prompt and the harness as it is about the underlying model.
It is a great reminder not to blindly trust a single LLM output, especially on nuanced or breaking news topics.
Let us wrap up today with our final story, a really cool show HN that got over 400 points. It is called Hallucinate, a massively multiplayer online rave built by a user named Stagus.
This project is so visually striking. It is an in-browser, 3D multiplayer environment where you can jump in and basically rave with other people. But what is really interesting is how it was built. Stagus mentioned in the comments that he initially tried using 3.js for the 3D rendering, but it was way too slow for the scale he wanted.
So what did he do? He used GPT 5.5 to write custom shaders directly. He said the AI handled the optimization passes, which allowed him to bypass the heavy frameworks and get incredible performance right in the browser.
And there is a really human element to this story. Stagus shared that he built this project while recovering from a long period of health issues. He has been unemployed and built this as a portfolio piece to look for remote front-end TypeScript roles.
Hacker News can be a tough crowd, and we definitely saw some of that in the thread. One commenter decided to give him unsolicited feedback on his GitHub repository, complaining that the file hierarchy was too flat, there were magic numbers in the shader code, and his commit messages, like jump jump and cool, were unprofessional.
I cringed reading that comment. The guy just built a custom 3D multiplayer engine from scratch using AI, hosted a massive online rave, and you were critiquing his commit messages? Thankfully, other users jumped in to defend him, pointing out that public nitpicking like that is not helpful when someone is just trying to share a passion project and find a job.
Seriously, let the man have his magic numbers and his AI-generated shaders. But there were also some really beautiful moments in the thread. Another user mentioned they had built a VR DJing system years ago, but had to abandon it due to their own health issues. They offered to open source all their Unity assets and scripts, so Stagus or someone else could carry the torch.
That is the Hacker News community at its best, sharing code, passing the baton, and building weird, cool stuff on the internet. We highly recommend checking out the link to Hallucinate and jumping into the rave if the servers are still up. And if anyone out there is hiring a creative front-end developer in a European time zone, definitely look up Stagus.
That is a perfect place to end for today. Thank you so much for tuning in to HN Pod.
If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend or a coworker. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News. Until then, keep building.